Welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network, coming to you from the TeacherCast studios since 2011. Join us each week as we bring you the latest educational news, edtech updates, and hottest interviews with today's most influential leaders in education. And now, for your host, Jeff Bradbury.
Everybody, and welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network. My name is Jeff Bradbury. Thank you so much for joining us today and making TeacherCast your home for professional development. On this episode of the Jeff Bradbury Show, we're going to talk about you. What is the legacy that you are leaving behind? How do you write one? How do you leave one? And what happens after you turn around and figure out where have you been and what kind of a footprint have you left in this world? My guest today is an amazing author, speaker, and motivator, and I am so thrilled to have him on today. You are not going to want to put this podcast away. If this is the first time you're listening to the Jeff Bradbury Show, thank you so much. You can find us over on teachercast.net/podcast. And of course, you can find us over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all of our video is found on our YouTube channel at teachercast.net/YouTube. My guest today is a speaker, motivator, and mentor to many. He has served as a rabbi for more than 20 years, and he has two amazing books. One of them is called What Will They Say About You When You're Gone? Creating a Life of Legacy. And he's here today to talk about his new book called The Secret of the Light. I want to bring on today Rabbi Daniel Cohen. Rabbi Cohen, how are you today? Welcome to TeacherCast.
Thank you very much. I'm doing really well, and it's a pleasure and honor to be here with you today.
I am so excited to have you on. There's a lot of great things. I had a chance to check out your books and interested in hearing a little bit about your life and where it's from. So let's just start right there. Who is Rabbi Cohen?
Well, when I was born, my parents didn't call me Rabbi. That's a, as I always like to say, never confuse your role with your soul. A rabbi is what I do, but it's not who I am. I was born in New York, but I was primarily raised in Atlanta, a Southerner. Grew up in a wonderful family, the oldest of six kids. And my parents are people that my mom died many years ago. My daddy, she lived and be well, were always people that instilled within me that life has purpose, to live life with gratitude, to really anticipate opportunities to make an impact, strong sense of my Jewish heritage and responsibility to the Jewish people. And over time, I found that my calling was almost professionally, though, finding a way to harness those gifts to serve as a rabbi. And thank God my wife and I have actually been, I've been in the rabbinate now for almost 35 years, actually, in Stanford about 20. And thank God we have six wonderful kids, six girls, five are married. And thank God we have around 11 grandchildren. So we're moving fast.
Well, congratulations for all of that. There's a lot of good stuff happening in your life. We had talked about this before the recording. I'd love to get your opinions. We're currently recording this on Friday, June the 13th. And, there's a lot of stuff happening in the world. Would you like to take a moment, maybe comment on some of the things that are happening globally when it comes to world events?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think in life, we always have a choice to be paralyzed by anxiety and fear and chaos. And certainly we're living in a very chaotic time, whether it's in our country, California, Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Iran. There's a lot of uncertainty. And in many ways, we are unmoored and in very uncertain times. Yet one of the main things to remember, not only as a Jew, but as a human being, is a statement that was made by a mystic many years ago who said, the whole world is a narrow bridge. And the main thing is not to become afraid. You know, I recognize that I don't control, none of us, all of world events. And if I spent all my time watching the news, I would get really depressed. And the truth is that I'd be paralyzed into doing anything. But the world is a narrow bridge. And at the end of the day, God is not asking us to change the world. But it's really important during this period of time to say, what can I do today to change the world of one person? You know, one of the prime messages in life is to walk in the ways of God. And the world was born in chaos and disorder and darkness. And the very first thing that God did was bring healing in places of hurt, order in places of chaos, and light in places of darkness. So I urge people you know, to ensure that every day they say, what am I doing to create something which is worthy of future memory? How can I instill a little bit of light into the child's life who may walk into my classroom? How can I live life with a sense more of faith and a bounce in my step? Because at the end of the day, it says in Psalms, the guardian of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Redemption happens in an instant. So I remind people, listen to the news for 15 minutes a day, and that's it. And spend the rest of the day doing things positive to help make the world a better place.
That is some really good advice. And, you know, that just basically goes into our first topic today, which is about the books. And, you know, recently you published a book called What Would They Say About You When You're Gone? What made you become an author? I'm saying this because my first book just launched a few weeks ago, had that big ceremony. Talk to us a little bit about your journey. What made you pick up the pen?
So it's not that I ever really thought that I was going to be a writer per se, but, you know, there's another great mystic who said everybody in the world has a book inside of them waiting to be written. We all have some song to sing. You know, think of life basically as God is the conductor, and we all have an instrument to play and something deep inside to bring greater goodness to the world. And part of, for me, it was around, I don't know, 20 some odd years ago, I was at a conference, and the beginning of the conference was, okay, everybody go back to your hotel room for 2 hours by yourself and map out the next 10 years of your life and where you've come from. Well, that's a nice task on visually. And I began to really think deeply about what is the song that I want to sing and like, what is something that I want to share? And, you know, because of my own background, my mom died at a very young age. She was 44 years old from a brain aneurysm. Very suddenly, I'm the oldest of six. And my entire life was turned upside down. I realized life can change in an instant. And I always live with the sense of, how do I motivate myself and other people not just to live from crisis to crisis? You know, someone's in a hospital, you really start thinking about what really matters and what counts. But life isn't meant to be a highlight film. And every day there's an opportunity not to live life in crisis, God forbid, but in calling. And when I was in that room, I began to think deeply, like, how can I share that message? And what happened was I started to comb through 100+ eulogies that I wrote to try to distill what is the essence of a good life. And then I was meeting with a friend who's a businessman, and he said, really, what you're trying to do is to help people reverse engineer their lives. And so that created the book, where the premise of the book is that you're at a funeral, which is when we all think about this question. And you have a moment when you say to yourself, I hope they speak about me the way they spoke about that person. It's one of the few places on earth today where everyone is paying attention. The phones are off, and it's sacred silent space where you can really hear your inner voice. And then generally we're motivated for about 15 minutes when you leave, until you get a phone call, you go back to life as usual. So in the book, I help people identify what is the best version of yourself, the life you want to lead. And then I take them on a journey of seven principles to reverse engineer your life. So we lead the lives now for how we want to be remembered. So I didn't think I would be writing a book, you know, 20, 30 years ago, but I just felt like, you know, with a lot of quiet space, I did put pen to paper and this book emerged, and it's really led to really speaking a lot about a legacy, how to tap into the highest frequency of living, starting a legacy academy. And, you know, it led to my next book as well. But, you know, that's, the book is not really, it's something people read, but it's changed me, and I've grown over the time just writing the book.
That it's interesting to hear you say that. And of course, as I'm listening to this, I'm internalizing my own journey. It took me 12 years to get through. I've called it my symphony. This is that legacy kind of a project. Somebody said, you know, write your manifesto kind of a deal. And when you look at that thing, you're proud of it. But you had mentioned that word legacy. What does that word mean to you now? And did that have the same meaning 10 years ago or, you know, before you said six kids. So what does the word legacy mean to you now?
Well, I would say, you know, when I started this journey, you know, legacy was more of a word, but it didn't really have meaning. Like when you ask, do you want to leave a legacy? Like, do you want to make the world better? Do you want to create an impact? I think when I initially started, I thought about legacy in these grand terms that you have to invent something or you have to have your name somewhere. You know, it's very, in many ways, daunting. But what I've learned over time is that even in the smallest of ways, we can create unforgettable moments for family, for people that we meet. And legacy is really about the light that we can share with other people that then lifts them up, that maybe introduces them to somebody that now they have a new job and career. I'll give you a simple example. I've been married, thank God, for almost 35 years, you know, kids, grandkids, and my sister knew my wife, and she was the one that introduced us when I was 22, my wife was 19. And every time I see my sister, and she thinks it's a joke, but it's true, I say, Rachel, thank you. I mean, how many of us have stirrings of the soul that we want to do something kind? And I say to my sister, the fact that you took 5 minutes to make that introduction between me and my current wife changed my world and the world of everything in my life. And that's a small act, but that's a legacy, you know, by that kind act. So I'm really now much more mindful that, you know, legacy is about the moments when you're in a cab and you decide to engage and maybe make an impact on the person who's there. Or you see a child who's feeling a little bit socially isolated and you help them make a friend, you know, or you give them, I've seen this too. I'll tell you one other story from school. I do a lot of what I call soul study with people. And I asked them, can you share with me a unforgettable conversation that still lives within you? And this woman said that when I was in high school, I wasn't the greatest of students and I did something stupid and I was sent to the principal's office. And I remember the principal said to me, you made a mistake, but do not define yourself by what you did in the past. Define yourself by what you are doing from this day forward. And she said that enabled her to transcend the mistake, changed her life, and she walked out of the principal's office with a new sense of hope. That's a legacy.
That's pretty awesome there. And, you know, one of the things that you mention in your book is about, you know, meditative moments, and you're talking about getting lasting memories out of things. I know being a teacher and being a parent of triplets, life goes by quickly. And, you know, the irony is today we're sitting here, this is my first day of the summer. I'm going, it's like being in New York and then suddenly you're not in New York. Like for me today, everything is going by slowly, even though I'm used to it coming at me at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for people in this world that are trying to slow themselves down, smell the roses, if you will, but really make sure that they're embracing every one of those moments in their lives and all those people around them?
So look, one of the hardest things to do is to live fully in the present. You know, the only moment that we have is the moment that is right in front of us. And many people are challenged by what I call Annie disease and Paul McCartney disease. So I'll start with Paul McCartney. You ask them how they're doing and all they can say is yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. And they think about, I could have, I should have. And then there are other people, you ask them how they're doing and they'll say, well, tomorrow, better tomorrow. And they're missing the moment right now. The key to seizing meditative moments and slowing life down is to recognize that we can't stop time, but we can slow down time if we create the structure to be fully present in every moment that we're experiencing.
Which is so hard to do.
Very hard, but it definitely takes some discipline. I'm a big fan of taking walks, and I'll tell you why, either by yourself or with somebody that you care about. Because the phone, it's impossible to kind of check your phone while you're walking. It's one thing if you're sitting on the couch, you know. So I always say, like, you put your phone in your pocket. It kind of is a way to just be fully present in the world around you. And it doesn't have to be that you create these meditative moments like 20 hours a day. But if a person can create a rhythm where they create these sacred spaces, you know, again, whether it's taking the walks outside or just journaling, or for me, by the way, I think praying is a good thing too, because praying is not just about prayer to God, but it's time to think about who I am and who I want to be. We can get a little more in tune with appreciating the gifts right in front of us. And I'll share one strategic idea, which is 3 minutes a day. And I call it sacred scheduling. You know, you have to look at your week, not just what I did today, but we all have 168 hours a week. So rather than allow things to fill your calendar that are non-essential, ask yourself, what are the things that I want to do that will nourish my soul this week? And then start putting those in your calendar first before all the other stuff. Like, I can do shopping and answer emails anytime, but to take a walk with my wife or to call my siblings or to spend time in writing, put that in first. And the program, this is a simple thing. It's called 3 minutes a day. Everybody's got 3 minutes. 1 minute in prayer. 1 minute where you ask, for me, I quote a verse from Isaiah chapter 40, where it says, those who have faith in God, their strength will be renewed. They'll grow wings like eagles and run and not walk. And it reminds me that God is my co-pilot, and I'll find the strength. If I'm doing things not for my own glory, but for God's glory, I find renewed strength. The second minute is to start a gratitude journal. But the key is not to repeat yourself. I learned this from my daughter, who at the time was up to about 800 of them. New things. And it forces us to be grateful that today is a gift. And she said, every night before I go to sleep, I read 50 of them. How can I not be positive? And the third minute is make a difference in somebody's life. And the way that you do this is on a Sunday, just free flow for 15 minutes, people in your life maybe that you could thank for something they did for you. Maybe there's somebody who's sick, who needs a kind word. Put a whole list. And then in that 1 minute, choose one of them, send them a text, make a phone call, let them know you're thinking about them. And to me, those are the moments that now become eternal, because now, you know, you ask somebody and say, what did you do today? Most people have no idea, remember what they did. But when you take moments to really take stock of your life and you take a moment to make a difference in somebody's life, those moments will last forever.
I completely echo that. And you know, again, going back to my, I got to say this again, you know, trying to make time each and every day for each and every one of the kids. And even as a teacher, have you hit everybody in the classroom to say hello, how you doing? Have you made that round to interact with your colleagues who are the closest to you? I think that's one of those things that we can certainly be thinking about this year, especially this summer.
Yep.
And I know one of my goals for next year is, how do I become more in the moment with my students, in the moment with my fellow teachers, with my kids at home, with my spouse, all of those different things. One of the things that I know you're excited about is something that you're working on called the Legacy Academy. What is that?
Funny you asked that question. The Legacy Academy, you know, I wrote the book, which, thank God, has been a great source of inspiration about how do we become more intentional and act in a way that really reflects our deepest values. But I felt that it was important for me to offer an opportunity for spiritual and legacy mentorship. So the Legacy Academy takes the principles in the book. And what I did was I created monthly modules for people. So each month, I recorded actually 10 videos in Jerusalem, around 15 minutes each, on each one of the principles: creating memories, living inspired, courageous choices. And then I created worksheets attached to them. Now the book has questions, but here what happens is I usually do a Legacy Academy with just 5 or 10 people in a cohort. I generally try to do them quarterly. And the beginning of the month, people receive the video and the worksheet. And then the third week of the month, people send the worksheet back to me and we have a conversation with spiritually minded people that are looking to learn from each other. And I facilitate a conversation of, how do I become a person who is more grateful on a regular basis? How do I become more resilient when I hit obstacles in my life? And the last week of the month is a one-on-one legacy mentorship conversation. So it's been a great program. it's been a way actually for me to kind of walk side by side with people who want to lead a more intentional, purposeful life. And I'm starting up another cohort in July and then God willing in the fall, but people can, you know, reach out to me on my website and certainly would love to try to help people on the Academy.
What is your website and what do you envision the typical participant be?
So the website is easy, www.rabbidanielcohen.com and rabbidanielcohen.com. The participants really are all, I would say, wide range of people. I mean, stemming from their 30s into their 70s, but people that want to grow in terms of their character, in terms of looking at the world in a more hopeful way, people who want to just create more impact in their life and are struggling to kind of, I would say, get out of what encumbers them from really becoming the best version of themselves. And, you know, it's been great because to a certain degree, it's like, I know people don't want to be in school when they're 40 or 50 years old, but it's like signing up for the gym. Sometimes you just need to like get on a schedule and you need to get a coach to help you exercise. So this is the same thing. You know, I just recently gave people a quiz. I said, you know, we have three buckets in our life, finances, health, and soul. And most people focus a lot more, which is important, on your health and your finances, but our souls sometimes are hungry and neglected. And this is a very proactive way to nourish your soul. And actually what'll happen is, and I found this, it reorients everything. You become a better parent, a better spouse, a better teacher, and a person who, rather than waits for things to happen to you, we become more anticipatory of creating moments of memory for other people, and our lives are even more filled with greater realization of the divine potential that each one of us possesses.
The website again is rabbidavidcohen.com.
DanielCohen.com.
The website again is rabbidanielcohen.com. And of course, we're going to make sure that we have the links to all of this stuff over in our show notes over at teachercast.net/podcast. And Daniel, as we head into the summer, what are your hopes for yourself, for your family, but most importantly, again, the world around us and where we are all heading together here?
Wow. Large question. You know, I hope that I look back on this summer personally and that I really seize the opportunities to not only develop myself, but create a lot of memories with family, with others. We have three of our children currently live in Israel, and we'll be spending some time there. And then it's a summer of health, of personal growth, rejuvenation, and really for the world that we see a world that it's hard to imagine it right now, that is more peaceful, that is more united, and also filled with a lot more light, which in the world. And, you know, God willing, we'll see that day very, very soon.
Rabbi Cohen, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Good luck with the book. Good luck with the Academy. And if you guys have any questions, again, head on over to rabbidanielcohen.com and check out all the great stuff that he's doing there. An amazing person. And I'm so glad that he was on the show today. Rabbi Cohen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Hope you guys had a great opportunity here. And again, check out rabbidanielcohen.com. If you have any other questions about our podcast or if you would like to be featured, head on over to teachercast.net and let us know that you are there and what you are doing to make a dent in this world. On behalf of Rabbi Cohen and everybody here on TeacherCast, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you guys to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
You've been listening to the TeacherCast Educational Network, hosted by Jeff Bradbury. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter at TeacherCast or online at www.teachercast.net. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.